like to wish all of you a very good 4th of July weekend. If you're visiting because of families and all, we welcome you. Hope you guys can join us tomorrow as we have a big, gigantic event here on the 4th of July as we celebrate the freedom that God has given to us in Christ, but also that freedom that we have living in this country, a rarity in this world. So, when the Romans invaded and conquered the Jews for the last time, they laid siege to Jerusalem. And it was estimated that possibly 1 million people were killed eventually as they went through the wars and just devastated and destroyed the Israel nation. You wonder, why did they have to do that? They could take all of Israel all around. They don't have to go into this massive fortress that is called Jerusalem, known in the ancient world as a pretty powerful city. Well, they had to do that because it was a stronghold. When the Persians destroyed the powerful empire of the Babylonians, they did the same. They went to Babylon and they laid siege to it, devastated it eventually, because it was a stronghold. You go back to all these warfares and situations throughout history, you will find that they will always do that. Remember World War II, the Germans lost the war, at least for a time, but they spent their massive armies on a place called Stalingrad. Today is in Rostov area, Russia. They lay siege to it and they fail. They did that because it was a stronghold. See, strongholds are like that. As we go through Greater Than Your Giant series, we want to deal with this stronghold, the lies and strongholds that the enemy gives to us, that pose itself as a giant. Strongholds are not only something that's powerful, but it has influence, tremendous influence. It controls a large area, impact, villages after villages, smaller cities all around. And unless they're destroyed, you can't conquer that area. That's why they're called strongholds. That's why a place like Jericho had to be taken down right over the other side of the Canaan area. That's why all these cities, you know, massive fortresses had to be taken down. And you think, why? Just leave them alone. They're just there by themselves. How much, you know, impact can they have? Well, they can have phenomenal impact. And so, in the world, that happens. But strongholds are not just armies and nations. And there are powerful strongholds in our lives, too. And therein lies this passage. In fact, this word stronghold is the only place, this is the only place in the New Testament that it is used. And it's interesting how it describes it. It's not talking about cities and countries or any of that. It is talking about us, that there are strongholds in our lives. You know, everybody has a stronghold, maybe many. And what we want to do is turn these strongholds of the world, strongholds of people and individuals, into strongholds of the Lord. And we need those. Now, in your bulletin, you have a sheet that I put together, and all over the place you can find different ones. And I thought these 12 were the most common strongholds that are in people. I'll share some thoughts with you about it. First one is, I deserve poor treatment. It's victimizing. You know, victimization is what it is. There are people in this world, and I've met many, and perhaps there's some here, that you just feel like you just deserve that kind of stuff. In fact, you know, the abused wife syndrome. A lot of wives just believe, you know, he abuses me verbally, maybe even physically, but I deserve it. I did that. I didn't cook good food. I didn't do this right. I didn't do this right. And they victimize themselves, and then they become, you know, just kind of, well, it's a new normal. It's a stronghold of your life. It keeps you down. It controls who you are. Another big stronghold. In fact, it's a stronghold that helped me for a while, and that is anger. I seem to think that there's a lot more of that these days in Houston with the road rage going on. I'm seeing them all the time. Every once in a while, I see two cars chasing each other. I'm like, where are you guys going? You're going to kill each other. But that was a stronghold in my life. Even after I became a Christian, it was a stronghold because I was just an angry person. I was quiet, I was introverted, but I had anger in my life for all kinds of reasons, and it came forth because I was very competitive, particularly on the basketball court. I get furious at the opposition. I'll get furious at my own teammates when they do something terrible or wrong, and it'll come out. And even after, you know, the Lord worked on it a long time, and even after Barbara and I got married, she reminded me of it, you know? I would be driving, and I never had road rage, I don't think, but I was driving in New York City, and New York City is a place that if you don't get angry, you're going to get angry. And every once in a while, you know, I'm really an on-time person. I hate being late. But man, sometimes you just don't know when you're going to get there. I'm stuck in the traffic, and Barbara reminded me of a phrase I used to use. Doggone it. Was a phrase I used. I'll be there stepping on the brakes. I had a clutch, you know, and I just had to give that car up because I can't handle it. My knee was killing me with the clutching and releasing constantly. And I would say, doggone it. And then when that happened, Barbara said, oh, I know what's going to happen. You know, you're getting angry there. Stronghold, you know, we have those kind of strongholds. Last week we talked about fear. There's all kinds of stuff. And I won't go through all these things in specific. We're not on the time, obviously, but they're there. Feelings of abandonment. In fact, a lot of people have that, and sometimes you just, you know, think you don't. These are not necessarily things that you may recognize right away. But in my 3+ decades of ministry, and oftentimes I would speak in conferences, and often I would be around a bunch of young people, the second gen, Asians particularly, and we'll sit around, we'll talk about things, and it never fails that somebody would begin to talk about how they felt so abandoned. Now, they use other words, by their parents, because their parents are never home, you know. My father never cared about me, you know. And they start getting angry. They start getting tearful, weeping. And next thing you know, it's a counseling session now, trying to get them to understand that their parents didn't really abandon them. And even if they did, you can handle it. Some of you might have read the story, and if you haven't, you should. About Stephanie Fast, phenomenal counselor, phenomenal stories that can lift you no matter what situation you're in. Stephanie Fast was a woman, a girl actually, that was born out of the Korean War. She's half and half, she's an Amerasian. Her father was a U.S. soldier that she never knew. Her mother was a Korean lady that was so shamed because back then, if you are half and half, you have a child that's not Korean straight, you know, you're ashamed. And between the age of 4 and 5, she didn't even know. She was abandoned and left to die on a garbage heap, literally on a garbage heap. Never thought she would make it. And the stories she tells are, wow, they're harrowing. Don't know how she could even survive, including one that she was locked in a place with another little girl in a house that they called the rat house. And the little girl was literally killed by the rats in there. She survived. After all that, you want to talk about, you know, feelings of abandonment? My father never cared. My mother didn't care. Nobody else cared. They beat on me. They almost killed me. I helped my whole nation. Let me tell you, that's a stronghold. And because Barbara and I work with orphans, we know that's a huge stronghold and of abandonment. I don't know if you have that. You felt abandoned, particularly by your parents in any way whatsoever. Abandoned, left on your own. You can cover it up, but I'm telling you, it comes forth. Another stronghold is shame. Maybe shame for something your family did. Maybe a shame of your father. How many of you have alcoholic parents? Barbara can tell you stories. She tells me, and I don't think she'll mind me just mentioning it. Before her father became a believer, and he's like a father to me, and he's with the Lord now. He was an alcoholic. Oftentimes, she and her mom would have to go to the bars to drag him out because he's drunk out there. Carry him to the car. Two ladies. Put him in the car. Drive him home. How much does that do to you? How much shame for your family? All the neighbors are watching as you pull in, trying to get him out of the car. That's a stronghold. How about addictions? Oh, my. You know, we call it something else today. We don't call it addiction. We call it disease. You know, it's not your fault. You got a disease, you know. I got caught bronchitis when I was in Latvia. It's not my fault I caught bronchitis. So, you know, it's not your fault that you're on drugs. It's not your fault that you're addicted to alcohol. It's not your fault that you drink, you know, 20 beers before you go, you know, go home after a party or something like that. It's not your fault. Addictions. And it's not just those kind of addictions. It's not your fault. How do you know that, you know, you open up the computer and boom, all these pictures come up. It's not my fault. I can't turn it off now. Stronghold grips you. Takes that part of your life, impact the rest of your life. This friend of mine used to live in Clear Lake area a long time ago. She shared with us, help my husband. He won't even come out of his room. He's so addicted to pornography. And he doesn't care. It's destroying our marriage. He doesn't care. Greed. Sometimes we think, no, that's not greed. We're just good businessmen. Well, I'm a good trader, you know? I'm just good with money. No, we're greedy. We just want some more. How much is enough? Have you ever thought about how much is enough? I remember this friend of mine. He was only 40 years old. He made so much money in the dot-com era, you know? He decided that greed was not going to take him. He sold all his business, went to seminary, became a youth pastor. Still young enough to do that. I don't need any more money, he said. Why would I want any more? How could I spend this money? I'm just going to keep in the bank. I have more zeros there behind. Say, but that's capitalism. That's what drives us, really. And capitalism is in the Bible, right? It's a stronghold. It would hold you, it would keep you, and it is going to take away so much out of your life. They did a survey in New York City a long, long time ago when we were there. A survey about the immigrant fathers and mothers. And they found that I believe it was like 23% of the fathers never saw their children. And the mother was a little less, about maybe 18, 19%, never saw the children. And they live in the same house. They just never saw them. They go to work early in the morning, come home late at night, the kids, whatever. You know, they're doing all kinds of stuff. More than one out of five never even saw the children. And you know what? We talk about the American Protestant work ethic, you know? And that's great. That's what we do. Most of us in our background, they're all immigrants of some kind. We come to America, we got the freedom, we work to death, you know, so that our children have a better life. They can have a higher education. And most of our children always are college graduate, you know, graduates, maybe even PhDs and on and on. And we think we've done our job. But it's not all that alone. It's because of greed. We just want more. How much more is enough? Where is in a place where this stronghold doesn't hold you anymore? And then we go to lust. Oh, my goodness. Say, oh, no, we don't do that, really. We lust. All kinds of stuff. There are passionate stuff that shouldn't be. There are all kinds of stuff that the world is telling us it's okay today. But they're all based on this passionate lust and morphs into things. There are different things that are perverted, that are just not right, not natural. Why? Because of lust. It just goes there. A couple of times I was called. And on the other end of the phone, I'm hearing a conversation that I don't even know what to do. One person was so locked up in this lustful thing, he felt like he literally needed a doctor to help him to break this through, break it out. Medical doctor. Another one called me and said, you know, I'm on the verge of suicide. If I don't get this thing, I won't tell you what these things are. The things that I am not capable of handling. did the best I could as a pastor, sharing the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel message. But my goodness, things I've never even heard of those kind of things. How can you lust after these things? But that's our world. It's a stronghold. It holds us tight. Depression. I haven't experienced too much depression, but I know it's real. A couple of times I had, just a short moment. And it's exactly like how I was told the first time by a friend of mine. It's like a dark cloud that comes over. Those of you that experience it, you know what it is. It's like a dark cloud that comes over and settles on you, and you just don't even know what to do. It's a stronghold, phenomenal stronghold. Grief. We've all experienced grief, I believe. I lost my mom, lost my dad, lost good friends. It's a stronghold. It can grip you, it can impact you, it can immobilize you. And then there's pride. Well, I don't need to talk a lot about that. What a stronghold that is. It'll destroy you, it'll destroy your family, it'll destroy who you are, your friends, it'll destroy a church, you know. That's why the Bible says, pride goes before destruction. And one last stronghold, laziness or sloth. That's not here, right? Too often. Do you have one of these strongholds? And there might be others that you have. That is just strangling you, that's gripping you, and perhaps it's holding your family down. And some of you say, well, I'm not sure. But you know what? It seems to touch me. This is something that grips me, you know. It's like that castle, that stronghold that holds in place. Maybe I have a pretty good life. Maybe my Christian walk is okay. But somehow, this stops me every single time. I want you to know that that is a giant in your life. And you don't need to have that standing in front of you. You can face that giant. Your God is greater than that giant. And you can demolish that stronghold. Very briefly, I want to tell you how. Second thing, the fight needed against them. Let me tell you what you need, all right? I am not a psychologist. I am not in the recovery program. I'm just a simple pastor. But I believe in the Word of God. Here it is. In Ephesians 6, there is only one offensive weapon, okay? There's only one sword. It is the Word of God. You need to wield that sword like you never did before. You need to be so good at it. You need to speak it, memorize it, claim it. You need to take that sword out, and you need to fight against them because the weapons we use are not the weapons of this world. We stop using the weapons of this world. They don't work. They only tackle the symptoms of things. You can go to a psychologist. You can go to all these things. You can read these self-help books. You can whatever, but they tackle only the symptoms. They do not tackle the cause. And the symptoms will come back up again and again and again. You might hold it down for a few months. You might hold it down even for a time, but it's going to come back unless you destroy them. You demolish them, as the Word of God says. Let me tell you, when you read the book of Psalms, chapter by chapter, you will discover who God is, and the mighty power of the Almighty God. You will discover in your mind, it's going to transfer into your heart, you will begin to embrace this great and awesome God. And it's going to transform you. And those strongholds, they're going to come tumbling down. Let me share with you, if you are ever prone to depression, if you're ever prone to feeling inadequate, ever prone to like no one cares about me, I want you to look up tonight, this afternoon, Psalm 91. It is a great and awesome psalm. It talks about God being your fortress. Instead of the strongholds of this world, you are going to create a new stronghold, allowing God to become that stronghold. He is going to be your fortress. Read that again and again and again. So much so that the passwords in our internet, at home, in different places, we have it as Go Psalm 91. Awesome psalm. It is a weapon of war. Wield that. Pick up that sword of Psalm 91 and wield it against the lies and the strongholds that the enemy has given to you. They are lies. They are not true. You don't need to be victimized. You are not abandoned. You don't have to have those prideful thoughts. You don't have to be stuck in that lustful thing. You don't have to be addicted to these things. Fight against them with the Word of God. So, oh, you're a pastor. That's all you know. Let me tell you something. This is what works. This is what has always worked in this world. The Word of God. Let me go to the last part, the possibilities of freedom from them. As you exercise the Word of God, as you make it a part of who you are, you will see yourself being transformed. You will see these strongholds crumble. They will fall down. I can sit here and or stand here and tell you all kinds of ways to deal with every single one of those things. Been in ministry 36 years, read lots of books, been there, classes, on and on. I can tell you those kind of things. But I am telling you, unless there are spiritual warfare, unless there's spiritual weapons, you are not going to succeed. I know that when someone's stuck in drug, addicted to drug or alcohol, you're not going to solve it by yourself. I've seen enough of that. But you know what? In our world, we have all these rehab places, and I would recommend them. If you're stuck in there, or your children are, whatever, your friend, go send them there. But you know what? Better yet, because they will solve the symptoms. They may not solve the cause. A person came to our church a while back in New York. Ramon said, "Pastor Dan, my wife is about to leave me. I'm going to lose my daughter. Because I'm an addict. I'm just addicted. What can I do?" I've gone to the rehab places. I come out, I go back to the same thing again. What do I do? So we prayerfully counsel them through. And we sent them to a rehab place. But this one is a little different. See, this one uses the weapons that are spiritual. We sent him the Teen Challenge. He went there, his wife left him, can't take him anymore, daughter took her away too, but he went there, Ramon went there, and he stayed there, and next thing you know, we hear that he has been recovering, and not only that, he is now working for them. And I remember talking to him the last time I talked to him, he said, "You know what, my wife is not home with me yet, she still doesn't want me back, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better. God's work. God's people work." What kind of strongholds are holding you? If you have these strongholds, I want you to know they don't need to hold you. They don't need to control you. They do not need to impact you. They do not need to touch your family. They do not need to destroy your home. They do not need to. What you need to do is deal with them according to the Word of God. Take off the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and begin to work that way. I would recommend it highly to you. First, to recognize it. You know, most of us, we try to just cover it up. No. You can't deal with it if you cover it up. Recognize it and begin to take those steps. In a church setting, be involved in the church. If you're in CBC, be involved in this church. And you know what? Begin to get into a small group. Ask somebody, you know, especially an addiction like pornography, let's say. I'm telling you, if you're dealing with it on your own, you're not going to succeed. You have to ask somebody to say, "Help me with this. I need accountability. I need you to pray for me." I've seen enough people be delivered from those things. If you have other things, you know, share it with people. Holding it in, the shame. No, no, no. This is a church. We are all like that. We all have our strongholds. We've all had our past. It is by God's grace that we have been delivered. You know, your husband is unfaithful to you. Your wife is doing things, you know. Share it with somebody. People confidentially, they can pray with you and for you. And asking the power of the living God by prayer to do a great work in your life. It is possible, it is doable, and it is absolutely necessary. And some of you might have to make some changes in your life. There are things that you have to change. You have to release those things that grip you. If they're a stronghold, they're gripping you. They're holding on to you. I remember one of the grips that I had in my life, it sounds silly, but you know what? It's real. I love my fish. I had 20 fish tanks in my house. Big ones. I don't know how Barbara can put up with it. And at one point I thought, it's a stronghold in my life. It's gripping me. So I began to give them away. I just began to give my fish tanks away, my fish, my beloved fish, my wonderful fish, my, you know. And you know what? It was good. Now I have one fish tank in my office and one fish in it, very lonely fish. I can still enjoy my fish, but it's not a stronghold in my life because I took care of it. What is a stronghold in your life? Don't let it stay there. No. God's people do not need to have any strongholds in their lives that are of the world. We need the fortress of God so that our lives can be mighty and awesome. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I want to thank you so much for the privilege of being free from the sinful things of this world. Oh, Lord God, would you deal with and minister to each and every stronghold that is represented in this room right now? Would you allow us to understand them? And then, Lord God, would you help us to take up the weapons of war to defeat them and bring and tear those strongholds down? We thank you for what you would do. In Jesus' name we pray.